WEEI Afternoons, kicking off the 5 o'clock hour as everybody drives home. Hopefully, Dan Ball, it's a little better drive than yesterday because...
Not a good one.
Somehow yesterday, the show ended 25 minutes earlier, whatever the hell it was, and I still got home a little later than I normally do.
Yeah, I noticed the same thing. As soon as I got on the exit in Brighton, it was an, oh boy. Find a podcast. We're in for a while. Yeah. Find a Bible verse that I can read like
Andy. Is everybody like going on Labor Day weekend vacation extra, extra early?
I don't know. No, I do think people, like Mondays are light, Fridays can be light. People seem to work the partials, the split. People are like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday or something. I don't know what's going on. Back to school is also probably a little bit of curveball or
that's
a wrinkle
a good point. Yeah.
In the whole situation.
Are colleges still moving back in, or is that kind of, we've kind
college,
of moved that?
Some colleges are that. Still moving in. I think we're right in the middle of Alston Christmas and all that crap going on, and people, I don't know that anybody's done the hit a bridge with their moving van thing yet recently.
It's getting starroed.
I'm sure that's on the horizon. But yeah, yesterday was not great, as the manager of the Boston Red Sox would say, Alex Cora. Speaking of which, I think we're going to hear from some Alex Cora in The Drive.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep. Into left field. Gone!
The top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. On WEEI Afternoons.
By the way, 55, not what I'm looking to drive. More like 75 to 80 to try to get home at a decent time. Fitzy knows 24. Once you get rolling on 24, it is pedal to the metal, baby. Just full
speed
ahead.
The masshole Autobahn, man.
Just go fast, go south, and get home, baby. But that's if there's no traffic. I will say one thing that didn't make the cut for the 5 today, Fitzy, unfortunately, we left it on the cutting room floor in there, is your feud with Will Middlebrooks. So we'll have to revisit that another day. We're saving that for Friday.
We're hoping, actually, that he'll stop by the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, visit us, and have a chat on Friday. But I am happy to report that the feud seems to be over, this quote-unquote feud, as Will Middlebrooks replied to our issue of a visitation, or I would hardly call it a challenge. He replied to our video saying, come by on Friday to Fenway, have a chat and get to know who Fitzy is, with a crying laughing emoji. Then, ready for this, slid into my DMs, gave me a triple crying laughing emoji, refollowed me.
Oh, all right.
All's well that ends
well. Me and Middlebrooks are besties again. I think we're going to go do karate in the garage together.
No, you'll go to the Pink Pony Club together. You'll have a great night together. That's sweet. He slid into your DMs and everything. Or he just didn't want to come by the studio and actually talk to us, so that was the easy way to squash that idea. All right. So we did talk to the manager, Alex Cora. If you missed the interview, you can listen to it in its entirety on the Odyssey app or follow WEEI Afternoons podcast on iHeart or Spotify, any of the places you get your podcasts. First thing we had to talk about the manager about was his pitching staff. That's been great. That included last night, Lucas Giolito, 8 innings, closed it out with a strikeout in a battle, an 11-pitch battle. Really impressive performance. He has a pitching staff that is... really coming together nicely late in the season. So we asked the manager about that dominant pitching staff. We watched a couple wins, and we've watched your top 3 pitchers roll of late. Obviously, Giolito last night, but there's this stat making the rounds that since June 10th, Crochet, Bayo, and Giolito are all in the top 5 in the American League in ERA. I know you're an eternal optimist, but did you see this coming, this stretch that they're having from your top 3 starters?
I mean, we trusted them, right? We've seen Bayo grown into a more mature pitcher. That transformation started halfway through the season last year. Gio, of course, been there, done that, right? It was just a matter of him getting to the rhythm of the season. And Crochet, I think a lot of people thought that this was going to be the case. I mean, a lot of hard work, a lot of adjustments throughout, right? With Gio mechanically, with Bayo repertoire-wise, but we're in a good spot right now. We're throwing the ball well.
That's an understatement. Good spot right now. Since June 10th, those 3 guys, the big 3 for the rotation, are all in the top 5 in ERA in the American League among the best starters in baseball.
three of the five.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So that the cynical Andy question of can they keep that going? Is it sustainable, Fitzy?
Yes. I think it's very sustainable. Sure. I want it to be. I need
Sell it
to be.
Sell it.
Because you want to know why? It's been going on now for, it's not just a week. It's not 2 weeks. It's not a small sample size. No. We're talking since before the kids got out of school and they're now going back to school. So this sample size is the duration of summer break. That's a pretty good sample size. There's every reason to believe that we should bet on these three guys maintaining their current trajectory and not falling apart. And it's not just about any one of them getting load management. One has gotten slightly preferential load management treatment, and the others are bearing down. And they just continue to impress around every turn. Last night from Giolito was revelatory, to say the least.
Yeah, and you know what makes their dominance even more impressive is they've each had little minor hiccups. It's not like they've been perfect, so their ERAs include a little bit of a hiccup here and there. Certainly last night was not one of those hiccups for Giolito. You're right. That was eye-openingly good. 8 innings, 8 strikeouts. He was just on. I mean, the low point of the night was when he caught a spike and fell on his ass backwards over the mound and was kind of like coyly embarrassed. Like, other than that, he was ridiculous. So it does bear the question, though. You know, been there, done that, Alex Cora says for Giolito. Well, yeah, not recently, because he, you know, a couple of years ago he was giving up the most home runs in Major League Baseball. Then last year he's injured, and it was like, well, what are you going to get? You've gotten great stuff. Will you continue to get great stuff? You had a great question about will there be any limitations on these two guys.
So, Alex, obviously your plan for managing the innings and workload for Crochet has worked very well. Going down the stretch, considering how pivotal these three pitchers could and should be if and when the Red Sox make the postseason, will there be any sort of load management or workload plan for Bayo and Giolito as well?
No, not as of now. We feel they're in a good spot physically. Health-wise, they've been great. They've been able to bounce back, and we got work to do. You know, we still got 29 more games, and you know, a lot of teams are playing well around us. We still have, you know, our goals set in the division, so we got to keep going.
Dan Ball, what was your reaction to that? You chimed into my ear. You want to share it with the listeners?
Yeah, he said no and then didn't backtrack all the way, but said not as of now, meaning that these things can change in the last month, which I thought was an interesting kind of qualifier to the answer.
But also is honest. Like, you know, two starts from now, if Giolito's like, boy, my arm's kind of hanging, my arm's kind of dead, well, then you manage the situation because you want the good Giolito when you hit the postseason. So we've nitpicked Fitzy, the manager, for truths, half-truths, lies that he's told us over the course of the season.
The 85-pitch Crochet appearance is still – we're letting it go. It's okay. Bygones are now bygones officially. Yep.
Yeah, and plus it's easier to accept, you know, the lies of a manager when his team is in the top wild card spot and headed towards the playoffs, and we all feel good and having fun around here. But no, I mean, it's a legitimate out that I guess he gives himself, Dan Ball brings up, that, you know, not as of now. If conditions on the ground change and those guys need a rest, rest them. Because 29 games, so that's basically 6 rounds through the rotation, theoretically, if they had 5 starters in a rotation. Yes, Dan Ball.
I would like to enter something into the conversation on Giolito, too, if you don't mind.
Uh-oh.
So Giolito right now is at 119 and a third innings of work to this point in the season. Incredible, given what he did last year, which was zero. So if Giolito were to throw under 140 innings this year, he's eligible for a club option worth $14 million that the Sox can just say, yes, thank you very much, you're here. If he gets over that mark, the two sides share a $19 million mutual option, which he could turn down.
Yeah.
So that 140 inning mark is just an interesting one to watch down the stretch.
He's not turning it down. If he gets past that inning total, I can't imagine him turning that down. I mean, I guess with the cost of pitching in baseball, maybe I'm getting too caught up in this, Fitzy. Like, it seems everybody loves to be here. Everybody wants to be here. When we talk about Bregman or Story or Giolito or anybody who might have a contract decision to make, an opt-out decision. Uh-huh. I'm taking them at their word that they're having a lot of fun playing baseball for Alex Cora and the Boston Red Sox.
Sure. But then again, you know what else is a lot of fun?
Money.
Trying to figure out what to do with $100 million.
That was like Ted earlier mocking it with when I brought up Kendrick Bourne may just want to play and he doesn't care about the money. And Ted's like, yeah, that's certainly how I would have treated it. I would not have cared about the money either. Like, money usually talks. You follow the money and that'll take you to the
If
truth.
He keeps up like this and he surpasses 140 innings, I can't imagine he doesn't opt out. You got to bet on yourself. You just got your arm. You got the big surgery to you. Like, a little less than 2 years ago, he's probably thinking, I'm in line for a nice 4-year, $120 million contract, you know, which would make $19 million from the Sox look like chicken feed.
We're very creative here on WEEI Afternoons, Fitzy, but sometimes you have to ask the same questions that everyone else is asking. And it's not about the top three starters. It's basically about the fourth and fifth starters with this team. We even had one texter say, like, did you ask him who's replacing Fitz? Well, Fitz wasn't really starting. He was coming in after an opener, so he was barely even in the starting rotation. But we did ask him about everyone's favorite young pitcher, Peyton Tolley. Alex, we couldn't let you leave this interview without a question about who's the next pitcher coming up from the minor leagues. Peyton Tolley seems to be killing it. Lou Maloney calls him the piglet, is very excited. How soon do we see Peyton Tolley?
We got to be patient, you know. There's other stuff that has to happen, right? And we're in a good spot with the big league roster. But obviously, like I always said, man, these kids, their job is to, you know, keep improving and keep showing us that they belong to the big leagues. And if we do believe they're ready, they're going to contribute here.
Before we let you go, you said Steven Matz is having fun. Haven't been a lot of fun for you. We talked about
stop.
Sorry.
Stop having so much fun.
Stiz was just having so much fun back there. He didn't press the stop button. Dan Ball. Other things that have to happen, or whatever Alex Cora just said, you want to clarify that for me, translate that for me? What the hell does that mean?
I'm actually not entirely sure. I don't know what would keep them from it other than just a one-for-one roster move, sending somebody down. I mean, I'm sure you have to decide that he's physically ready to pitch in the big leagues, but Other than that, I don't know what's keeping him down other than they want him to get more conditioning down there.
Maybe one more start down there. I don't know. I feel like it's now become when, not if, for Peyton Tolley. And we're going to see him, right? Like, is there any other view?
Yeah, I was just checking the X moments ago before we got back in for the drive. And I guess he's lined up for a start on Friday. But
yes.
Then Gordo from Play Tessie was saying he wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't make that start and actually gets a start this weekend against the Pirates.
So on that topic, Fitzy, it looks like they're currently lined up for the two of them to, it's him and Shane Drohan, who's another lefty. They
don't mess with the Drohan.
They are currently lined up to quote unquote piggyback off of each other. So 3 innings and 3 innings or 4 and 4, however you want to line it up. So essentially they gave themselves the out clause of if we want Peyton Tolley, we can yank him up on Friday and have him there for the week.
I haven't looked ahead at the matchups. Is Skeens scheduled to pitch against the Boston Red Sox? Could I dream of a Tolley-Skeens matchup for Tolley's major league debut? Because that'd be pretty cool.
Let's see. Currently lined up, you have May against Burroughs. Oh, man. Saturday, 4:10, Paul Skeens against blank for the Red Sox.
Tolley.
Wait.
Let's go. Wait. That's what I want. Tolley
following
versus
OSU, Texas. Come on, Andy. That turns into a hell of a Labor Day Saturday for
that
sports fans.
I'm not sure it's going to go well. You know, the Red Sox like to strike out Skeens, and that's a tough matchup for anyone, especially someone making their major league debut. But that would be fun. And that's going to be, Fitzy, you love these things, these sort of like landmark, you know, do you remember when you saw this or remember when that happened? Peyton Tolley beginning his career against Paul Skeens. That'd be kind of fun.
Badass matchup.
Almost as fun as then trading for Skeens in a year and a half to have him join Tolley in the rotation with Crochet and be the greatest rotation in baseball. The one thing that Alex Cora was more excited about seemingly than his baseball team, which I don't know how that can be happening, is fantasy football. Apparently they had their draft, and, well, Alex Cora is very excited. Before we let you go, you said Steven Matz is having fun. How much fun is Alex Cora having? The last few Augusts seem like they haven't been a lot of fun for you. We talked about teams fading, falling out of contention. You must be having some fun.
Yeah, especially because our fantasy football team is ranked number one with the draft. We had a great, I mean, it was amazing. We got Chase, Jacobs, Jackson, Walker, Metcalf, and some others. So we were ranked number one, the coaches. Now we just got to put the work and hopefully we can win the championship.
He brushed off baseball very quickly there. Yeah, baseball's fun, but fantasy football's where it's at. My team is loaded. And he went so far to say, Stiz, that I kind of joked about maybe there's, I don't know, multiple tattoos, multiple championships on the horizon. And is this the league where Veritech decided the order with the BP session, the picks?
Yeah. It was not the order. It was the order to choose the order. So there was no, I mean, we didn't take advantage of the situation, but we were the number two pick. I think, you know, we got the best player in fantasy football, Ja'Marr Chase, and we just got to go now and hopefully win the championship. That's the most important thing.
All right, so we're angling for two championships, fantasy football and real-world baseball. We're just going to pull it all together this fall,
life
right?
Balance.
You imagine if we do well, that'd be sick.
That'd be sick indeed if you most of us would take just the real-world baseball championship.
Yeah.
Honestly, we don't really care that much about his fantasy football team. Also, did you notice, I missed this the first time, the shot he took in there? Basically said we got the second pick and we got the best player. So he took a shot at whoever went number one overall in the...
I wonder if they took like Gibbs or CMC, because Ja'Marr Chase is number one on all... Or maybe they took Bijan Robinson because Chase is number one on all the boards universally.
Yeah, Bijan would be one that I would consider. Saquon, I think you have to consider in that range, just because maybe he can continue to have a great season behind one of the best offensive lines in football, one of the best teams in football. Who knows? We also had to talk a little Patriots today because yesterday was cut down day. We got to the 53-man roster. Today was the reconfigure the 53-man roster day, and we had some nuggets throughout the day. Jones and Keefe had some breaking news. At times, we had Kendrick Bourne ask for his release. That was granted after apparently there were some trade talks, maybe with the Vikings. Never came to fruition. Yeah, that would have been nice to at least get something for the veteran wide receiver who a few years ago was considered by some to be the poor man's Debo Samuel. Remember when everybody said Kendrick Bourne was the poor man's Debo Samuel? That didn't
Well, after the 2021 that he had, he said he wanted to kind of unlock that ball carrier, running back, wide receiver, anything you need him to be, offensive weapon role. And then, of course, you get into Patricia's doghouse and...
Maybe
well,
say less and do
say
more.
About that.
Maybe say less and do more, Kendrick. Maybe not compare yourself to Debo and guys like that. But Kendrick Bourne, gone. So eight receivers became seven. And then Javon Baker, gone. So seven receivers became six, if you considered him a receiver, if you considered him a special teamer. Well, apparently he wasn't as great at special teams as some of you people thought. And then the Patriots claimed a player, Tommy DeVito, Tommy Cutlets, backup quarterback for the New York Giants. They saw him in the preseason finale. And this filled a void that Ted Johnson, a drum he's been banging for a little while here on WEEI Afternoons, that the depth of the team is an issue and the backup quarterback is an issue. Fitzy, will Tommy DeVito play for the Patriots this year in a regular season game?
Yes.
You think so?
I think he surpasses Dobbs, and you'll see Cutlets at one point.
Yeah.
Dobbs was bad this preseason.
He wasn't great. There was early in the preseason, our guy Ted Johnson thought Ben Woldridge was better than Bill. Ben Woldridge kind of sucked. Dobbs was never really great, although he was treated sort of special in the finale. He didn't play. It was Woldridge wire to wire, so there was that interesting nugget. Another nugget over the Patriots roster. After all the waiver claims came in today, guess what? None of your players were claimed. Nobody wanted any of your cast-offs. The league told you what they think, Fitzy, of the Patriots roster, and they don't think it's very good.
Yeah, no. When Mike Reese tweets out like, hey, so it's past waiver time, and none of the Patriots players were captured, that's a sure sign that what Mike Vrabel is working with, thanks to the Wolf of Ball Street and Company, is nothing too special. He is definitely trying to cook a gourmet meal with leftover chicken salad and donuts, and it's not easy. And I think that's kind of what led to his, how do we describe it? Salty, dour, Belichickian tone today?
Yeah, Ted said he didn't take his testosterone, is what he said about Mike Vrabel today. So, yeah,
he's
dour,
allowed to say
down.
That, not us.
Yeah, it's his former teammate, his pal. He can say that. But, yeah, Mike Vrabel was a little weird today. That's going to do it for the drive here on WEEI Afternoons. Coming up,
should he call his friends at Northeast Men's Health,
by the way?
It's a good thing to do there,
maybe,
right?
Maybe Ted was setting it up for an ad deal, everybody to get. And when my friend was a little bit down, you know what I told him to do? Call Northeast Men's Health. And I took him down there myself. That's a great idea from Christian Arkan, who'll join us next for Odds and Ends here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, and for the final time, it's Dan Ball with What's Trending.